Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. You are listening to Leaders Portfolio. We are here in studio. And before we get situated with Christopher Brandt, I want to let you know that we are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, where we recognize top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. You can find an application right now at leadersportfolio.com. That's leaders, plural, portfolio.com. So we encourage you to apply. Lots of great businesses and business leaders, sometimes a business leader and a leadership business, also apply. And we encourage you to do so. And new this year, we are announcing nominations. If they choose to be, if they want to be, they'll be announced on air for nominees this year. So we're excited about that award competition just kicking off again this year. Now, we are in studio, Leaders Portfolio Studio, with the managing partner of Audacious Inquiry, Mr. Christopher Brandt. Audacious Inquiry is based in Baltimore. It serves state agencies and state-designated entities, and it works primarily in the areas of health information systems, analytical services, and web applications. Recently experienced three-year growth of 82% with $2.6 million in revenue in 2010. Welcome, Chris, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks very much, Rebecca.
Not a bad intro, right?
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic.
It's better than saying a three-year growth of negative 82%, right?
Definitely better. Definitely better.
And so talk to me a little bit about how you got here. You started it in 2004, and now you're here. Talk about that.
That's right. Started the company in 2004. I was running around as an independent consultant and was finishing up a graduate degree in business at your alma mater at Penn, and it's been quite a ride. Our first couple years were an adventure. Early on, we got exposure to health information technology, which has really taken off in the years since, and that's been our expertise in that field.
And you're in a growth field. I mean, was that intentional, or did you luck out?
We got a little bit fortunate there. Our second client, second organizational customer, was a large healthcare institution, a senior care business actually, and they had the challenging problem of their residents or customers' health. Would be broken up among a variety of different caregivers, and there was no continuous record of that care. And so we helped to implement some technology to enable better care for the customers of that organization.
And I'm going to do something I don't normally do with a CEO, but I'm going to ask you your age, because in your case, it is meaningful in that you were unusually young getting your Wharton Executive MBA. You were 25.
When I enrolled there, that's right.
And so, tell me about this process of starting this business. Like, where, you know, were you 28 in 2004 and started this, or how did this all work?
When we started the company, I was 25.
So you started more in the same year you started. Is that recommended?
Well, I mean, the wonderful opportunity that I had in business school was to go as a fellow in an executive program. So I was able to, for 4 days a week, you know, able to work and do consulting work. The experience that I gained at that time while in class allowed us to build up a track record, a set of past performance that helped us to really get off the ground as I was finishing up in 2006 and since, leveraging the now expanded toolkit that you get from going to a top tier business school, and the relationships you build through that, and the confidence you gain, and really, we set out to build a world-class technology consulting business, and we're still, you know, working on that towards that, mm-hmm. you know, hairy goal, right?
Yep. So you're the owner of this. You're managing partner. Are there other managing partners?
Nope, I'm the managing
it's
partner.
Yes. So you took your own money to start this.
That's correct.
And so was that a risk, or you knew, oh, no big deal, this is going to work? Was it that Warren arrogance I can refer to?
You call it arrogance, I suppose. There was certainly some risk. Maybe it was hubris, maybe some confidence. It's been working. We're on our way. I'll tell you what, it hasn't been just me, right? So there are a lot of really, really talented people involved with our company who have helped to lead and grow. I certainly can't take all the credit. As the company advances, we'd like to continue to attract those type of people.
And we're talking about you had 3-year growth of 82% with $2.6 million in revenues in 2010, and you started in 2004. Audacious Inquiry, Mr. Christopher Brandt, we're speaking with. Now, you recently attended a White House event regarding government restructuring. What do you see working in government right now in your particular business areas, and what do you see not working? You don't have to make this really political. This could be kind of an easier answer.
Wow. Well, that was a really neat experience. So attending the briefing at the White House, we didn't know what the president was going to be announcing on that day. But, elevating the Small Business Administration to a cabinet level position and consolidating government agencies in the interest of making it easier to do business in the government. I think these are really fantastic things.
Excellent. And you're on the board of the Maryland Small Business Financing Authority. How is Maryland a good place for small business, and how is it not, in your experience?
Well, for us, being in health IT, Maryland has been a fantastic place to be because of the comparative advantage that Maryland has in healthcare, right, with renowned institutions like Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland Medical System, and MedStar Health. The NIH is here. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid is here in Baltimore.
So it really mattered for your business, this state.
Yeah. I mean, Maryland is a tremendous place for us to grow as a company in our field. The Maryland Small Business Development Financing Authority is a part of the Department of Economic Development, Business and Economic Development in Maryland. And that organization is dedicated to helping small businesses who might not have immediate access to capital through traditional commercial means obtain that access to capital. It's been a privilege to be involved there. It's been a tremendous learning experience to learn about these small businesses and try to help be involved in their growth and success.
And your background, and we're speaking with Christopher Brandt, your background is you have a bachelor's in community science from Duke University and an MBA from Wharton at the University of Penn. But one of the things I noticed in your kind of resume was that you're involved with the Duke Hispanic Latino Alumni Organization. And I noticed a number of relationships to different Hispanic organizations. So talk about that importance to you.
Absolutely. And people don't know from my last name and my really terrible Spanish that I'm half Puerto Rican. My mother is from Puerto Rico, I grew up here in Baltimore, but when I was in college, I actively sought out the opportunity to learn more about my heritage and got involved with the Hispanic community, the Latino community at Duke, really was a wonderful opportunity to be a leader really in the community over time. I was involved as the president of the Hispanic Latino fraternity and we helped to create a recruitment weekend and some programs to drive matriculation of Latinos at the university up over the course of time while I was in an undergrad there. And since we started an alumni association for the 2,000 or so Hispanic Latino Duke alumni and a scholarship for matriculants, Latino matriculants to the university. So that's been a really, really great experience, working with some fantastic people. And recently I was asked to be on the alumni board, the broader Duke alumni board, which has been fantastic as well. Some really amazing people.
And what's your overall leadership philosophy? And you can answer this any way you want, towards clients, towards...
Yeah, well, I thought this question might be coming. And you ask, and to be honest, I think mine is still under development. I have had the privilege of being around some really amazing people, and I try to take a little bit away from the folks that I work with and the folks who are advisors to my company and to me, and really hope to continue that over the next several years as we develop as a business and as I develop as a leader.
So I have to bring you back in a couple of years and ask you again
after you've watched
a bunch of leaders portfolio shows, right? And then you can develop it over time. And talk about the kind of a leadership failure you've had.
Wow, which one? So,
I have. That's my answer too. I should say. I say my leadership resume. My failure resume is larger than my success resume. Yeah, do you agree with that?
I certainly feel that way. I think about failures a little bit, and you really have to put them behind you, I think. But I can tell you about some difficult times that we've had that definitely have left a mark as a company, right? So we, 2006, 2007, we were out of the gates and doing really well. 2008 came, and as you can imagine, that was a very challenging time for a small business. And our largest customer at the time went into bankruptcy. And I think we were maybe nine people at the time, and we're all employees.
Were you worried about paying employees' payrolls?
I mean, we were worried about employees' payrolls for sure. We were worried about what did I get us into situation?
Start calling up those old Wharton professors. All right, how do I get out of this one?
Yeah, right. But the team came together and we turned what was a series of, what could have been considered failures into a series of successes, which, really are quantified, I guess, by the growth that you talked about sort of since that time.
Mm-hmm. You were an Eagle Scout. This is way back then. What leadership lessons did you learn as an Eagle Scout that you now are applying to Audacious Inquiry?
Wow. So, yes, I was in the Boy Scouts and I was an Eagle Scout. I am an Eagle Scout. It was a fantastic program. I'm very proud of being associated with the Boy Scouts. What are the qualities that I've taken? I mean, there are so many, right? They talk mm-hmm. about, being trustworthy and having integrity and being loyal and then just the commitment to sort of stick with something through, an extended period of time when you're, from when you're 8 till you're 16 or 18, those are all qualities that I think are make for good leadership qualities. And so I think I've carried a few things from that. It really was a great experience for a young person. Spend some time outside and learn a lot of skills that I wouldn't have learned
otherwise. Like
how to sail, things like that. Yeah, just
that you now need in life.
You never know. Yeah. Sure.
Now you learned, and you also learned your private pilot as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. When I saw that, my first thought was, I wonder if he was more scared the first time flying alone as a pilot, or was he more scared his first day of Wharton classes? So what's your answer?
Oh, wow. I don't know that I'd use scared either time. Both were exhilarating.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Exhilarating. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
The first time I went flying in a small single engine plane was with one of my friend who's now a colleague, actually works with the company. And that was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. Going to the Wharton School with the with the extraordinary people that I had the opportunity to go to school there with was also very memorable, and the that intellectual stimulation of that program was fantastic, and Yeah.
Wasn't
fear. It was
maybe that's why you deserve to be a pilot, because you didn't see my initial reaction was fear, right? So I should not become a private pilot, because that's already foreshadowing, right?
Yeah, maybe I should have been more afraid, right?
All right. Well, we all want to thank you for coming to Leaders Portfolio Studios, Chris.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
Great. Chris Brandt here with us, Audacious Inquiry, based in Baltimore. And had 3-year growth of 82% with $2.6 million in revenue in 2010. I want to thank these sponsors of leadership: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you are a company that values leadership, and maybe you want to make that statement clear that you value leadership and you want people in the federal sector or the private sector to know that, well, then we encourage you to consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. And again, you can find Chris's interview at leadersportfolio.com. That's leadersportfolio.com. Mr. Christopher Brandt, managing partner of Audacious Inquiry, here with us. I'll be back after this break.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.